If you look at Romans 8, we've had some really good conversations lately about defining walking in the Spirit. And I was ranting and raving on Sunday that's how we started out, like Brother Sam emphasized it over and over and over again. Walk in the Spirit, walk in the Spirit. And then way back then, you know, people would say, you know, what does that mean? And honestly, we all had difficulty in defining what was meant by that. And I remember Brother Eli used to say, don't try to walk in the Spirit, just walk in the Spirit. And so, really, there is definition in our Bible. There, in the Word of God, there is plenty of definition. And I want to take a look at this tonight, because when the conversations that we've had, we have gotten a little bit excited, I think, to know what God had in mind. And so, if you are in Romans 8, which is where verse 14, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God, for ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And we sang tonight at the end, renew a right spirit within me. And the emphasis in Romans 8, as we mentioned on Sunday, was the Spirit. Everything's the Spirit. Everything to do with sonship has to do with the Spirit. And I just think it's significant that David would sing, and that we would find it helpful to sing with him, renew a right spirit within me. Seems like we get out of the right spirit. And from time to time, we need to have that right spirit renewed. Thank God it can be. What if he lost the right spirit and it couldn't be renewed? Whoa, would be an awful big trouble. But praise God, we can say, you know, if we're out of sorts, we're bent out of shape, as they say, and we say, Lord, renew a right spirit within me. And he can do it, and he will do it, and it is done. And so that very fact emphasizes and underscores the need for the Spirit and the need for the right Spirit, the correct Spirit. And, of course, that would be the Spirit of God. And so if you look at Galatians 5, Galatians 5, and of course, Galatians 5 is where it's the 16th verse where this verse is that Brother Sam used to talk about all the time, and that am I right in my perception that we don't talk about as much anymore? Like, am I nuts? Or is it true that we preachers don't talk about this much anymore? Okay? Maybe we ought to start talking about it. You know? because it says, of course, this I say then, verse 16, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And, of course, we know that the way to not fulfill the lust of the flesh is not to go around thinking about the lust of the flesh that you shouldn't fulfill. As we said on Sunday, you've got to have a completely different life a positive life, right? The life of the Spirit that is so energizing you and is so life to you. The Spirit of life, like we said, that you don't even think of the lust of the flesh. It's down in there, but you're not thinking about it because of the Spirit of life, which is in Christ Jesus, has set me free from the law of sin and death, right? And so,
not preoccupied by it.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. And if I am preoccupied with those things, it's probably an indication that I'm not in the right spirit. I better be praying, Lord, renew a right spirit in me, because I'm thinking about the very thing that's going to drag me down. It's like Eve when she saw the fruit. Right? Genesis 3. She saw the fruit. Next step, she desired the fruit, you know. So first step, I start thinking about what is forbidden. I start thinking about what would drag me down. Next step, right? I'm going to start desiring it. And so there's a life that's completely above that. There's a life completely separate from that. And I believe that was the life that Brother Sam was steering us toward when he would talk all the time about this walk in the Spirit. And I do believe that the only possible way that brethren have been able to get along in community situations of all various kinds, like all of us have been in. We've all been in various kinds of them. But no matter which kind it is, the only way to ever get along is to walk in the Spirit, right? And so, but aside from the fact that one way that you would know that you're walking in the Spirit is that you're not fulfilling the lust of the flesh, I believe we can get even more definition than that. It's even more defined than that in the Word. And I think that it's a really important thing to see. And part of the definition comes in the context in which it is said. Aha, there's a biblical principle of Bible interpretation. Find the context in which the thing was said in order to better understand it. There's one for us. And so verse 13, for brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this: thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So from the context, you tell me, what phrasing in verse 13 and 14 would equal walk in the Spirit? Which of those things is the phrase walk in the Spirit another way of saying? Say it there, Sister Barbara. I can always count on Sister Barbara. Say it there, Sister Barbara.
I said love your neighbor.
Okay. And which verse was that? Okay, verse 14. Is there something in verse 13 that's similar? Louise.
Serve one another.
Serve by love. May I add that? Since it's in there. By love, serve one another. Love thy neighbor as thyself. Walk in the Spirit. And so can we now in the year 2015, maybe we didn't have it in 1975, though we could have if we'd have read the Bible. But it isn't just about reading the Bible. It's about the Spirit of God quickening and making real to you what's in the Bible, right? And so although this was always there, I think that we're at a place in our lives where we can see the equation. We can see the equation that it's by love that you serve one another. It's love thy neighbor as thyself. This is what he's talking about when he's talking about walking in the Spirit, and when he's talking about, you know, not fulfilling the lusts of the flesh, some of the works of the flesh are going to be listed in a couple of verses, but part of this walking, you know, fulfilling the lust of the flesh has to do with this biting and devouring one another. Because there really is a lust in man to chew up other people, right? You know, either blatantly, openly, or on the sly, one or the other. And that is one of the main things, and I think we've come far enough to know that that's one of the main things that can, that how we can destroy one another. You know, and you have had friends as well as I have had, that though they may be wrong in their perception, they'll claim that brothers and sisters hurt them or destroyed them even by some of the things that they said or some of the things that got back to them that someone had said or that they thought they said and got back to them and it got back to them the wrong way or whatever it was, the words and the attitudes that we have about each other and express to one another or about one another are so major, right, that he's talking about all this biting and devour, don't do that, you know, love, serve one another, etc. And he encapsulizes all that by saying, walk in the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit. So when my the urge comes to bite or devour, I said, Lord, renew a right spirit in me. He says, walk in the Spirit and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So that's a little bit of definition, but I'm going to go on from there, not because it's unimportant, but because I don't want to take too much time. But think about this. By love, serve one another. That's what it means to walk in the Spirit. Serve, love your neighbor as yourself. It's so simple, right, that it's you could almost overlook it. If it was a snake, it'd reach out and bite you, okay? But yet it's right there. And then, we'll go on just a little bit. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. See? Okay. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. These are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now, the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these. And in this list, there's some things that are really big and really horrible and really terrible. And that there's other things that are big, horrible, and terrible, but most people don't think they are. Like he says, you know, here they come. Adultery. That's terrible. Fornication, that's terrible. Uncleanness, we're not even sure exactly what he means by that, but that must be terrible. Lasciviousness even sounds terrible, all right? Idolatry, who would want to be involved in idolatry? Yet, let me tell you, it goes deeper than most people think. Witchcraft, who would nobody would want to be involved in those things, and mind you, witchcraft is a work of the flesh. Okay, somebody think it's demon-inspired. No, it's not. Witchcraft is a work of the flesh. Witchcraft is really the flesh asserting its will, manipulating others to achieve a will other than the will of God. Okay? Like the serpent in the garden was doing. This is what witchcraft is. It is the attempt to manipulate someone else to do the will that is other than the will of God. But those are big things. But there's other things like hatred, variance, and by having fits of anger. That when they get together, either a big group of them or the leadership of them, when it gets right down to brass tacks, there's this one guy in this one place and another person in another place, that what they do is they blow their stack. And then everybody has learned over the years, in one place, perhaps a generation, they have learned that when so and so blows his stack, it's just time to quit, just time to let him have his way because he's going to be so mad. I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, The wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. And, you know, sooner or later, God's people are going to have the liberty, are going to walk into the liberty promised in Romans 8, a glorious liberty where we will not be intimidated or manipulated by somebody blowing their stack or clever manipulation or psychological manipulation, but rather but learn to communicate decently and in order and above board and transparent and clear. And as Brother Sam taught long, long time ago, you say your piece, you let your brother say his piece, you get a short little time for a rebuttal, and he said, anything more than that is argument. You know, that's it. And I believe that even to this day that he was right. And so getting our way, whether we're a toddler or whether we're a leader, by blowing our stack, okay, reveals that somewhere along the line, somebody or somebodies have stopped walking in the Spirit. That walking in the Spirit is okay for little mundane things, but when it gets down to important things like the decisions we're going to make in our church, we couldn't possibly walk in the Spirit and achieve anything. I disagree with that. I believe the way to achieve anything that is significant is God, in God, is to, you know, in that time and in that place, walk in the Spirit of God, right? And so that's why these things matter. There's envyings and strife, seditions, wrath, and all these other things. The last thing I want to say tonight would be in Philippians 2, just a little bit further definition. Walk in the Spirit. I think one of the blessings that we've had over so many years that I'm not sure others have to the degree, to the permeation, is the what the Bible would call the fellowship of the Spirit. Now, in Lord of the Rings, they had the fellowship of the ring. Okay. I'm not talking about the fellowship of the ring. But there is such a thing as the fellowship of the Spirit. That is the koinonia that exists because we are yielded to the Spirit of God. And I mean, we of all people ought to know that you can't live the Christian life except you're yielded to the Spirit of God. And it really matters what spirit we're in. And that's why we would pray sometimes, Lord, renew a right spirit in me, because it isn't going to work unless you renew a right spirit in me, right? So he says in Philippians 2, and this helps define things, I think. For it says, if there be therefore any consolation in Christ, and we hope there is. I mean, yes, there is, okay? If any comfort of love, yes, there is. If any fellowship of the Spirit. That word fellowship is in your Greek, that now famous Greek word koinonia. We didn't invent the word koinonia. It was in there a long, long time ago, but we were happy to discover it. It's the having in common. Koinonia means the having in common. It means to share something together, right? And if there's any fellowship, any koinonia of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy. Here it comes. Here's some definition. That you be like-minded, having the same love. Oh, there's love again. Being of one accord, of one mind, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory. And interestingly, Galatians 5 ended, don't do anything, it said, with vainglory. All right, here's this vainglory again comes up here. Where'd I go? Verse 3. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind. Somebody say lowliness of mind. Let's try it again. Say lowliness of mind. Let each esteem other better than themselves. Hallelujah. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And so I'm getting the idea that this was the mind that was in Christ Jesus. All these things from verse 2 and 3 and 4, these are the things that are in the mind of Christ Jesus, the one whom the Spirit rested upon and never left. If there's anybody that we know for sure walked in the Spirit, it was Jesus. And in the Spirit, he had this mind that we are encouraged to have. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. But notice it's all attitude things. Like-minded, same love, one accord, one mind. No strife, no vainglory, lowliness of mind. Each esteeming the other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Praise God. And so yes, there is plenty of definition in our New Testament concerning what this phrasing means, walk in the Spirit. And I can still, and so can you, I can still envision Brother Sam strumming his guitar, that special way that he would do, the little dance that he would do as he did so, singing, "When I'm in the Spirit, I am the voice of God." Huh? And just, it was great. It was sing along with Sam, but it was more than that. You know, it was really, there was something that was being received from God. There was something that we were embracing. There was something that we were enjoying. There was something that we were continuing to walk in. And I believe that that it wouldn't hurt going in the future to walk in the Spirit. And if to get to the next step, whatever step that's going to be, we're going to get there if we will walk in the Spirit. If we do so, of course, we will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Praise God.